Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the after show for The Handmaid's Tale. We're talking about episode one, Offred. Stay tuned. There's lots to talk about.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
Oh, look at Carrie, please.
Oh, you like it?
It's amazing.
Well, we need something like after, because, oh boy.
We're going to talk about some serious stuff today. Yes. Let's start off a little lighter.
Oh, girl empowerment.
Upbeat music is what I need.
Okay, that might be our theme. Every week we need to do a female empowering song.
Yes,
all right, guys, we're
going to
change up the vibe because the show is very heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, we're talking episode one of The Handmaid's Tale, Offred. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And joined by my awesome lady panel.
Hey, guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey, everyone. Veronica Barriga here. You can catch me on social media at Veronica B Online.
All right, now, guys, this is a show that is based on a book. If you have had no content coming at you from social media of any way, it's based on a book that came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
So this is not brand new stuff. It's a new show. And then talking with my panel, I have read the book, so I will interject here and there, but this is a show about the show, so if anybody's really like, get on social media with us and comment down below. And we do have a lot. This is live, so if you want to join us in the chat room, we have a live chat. Otherwise, we'll talk later. So anyway, first thoughts.
Oh, man. This is a deep show, and it's deeply terrifying in ways I wasn't quite prepared for. The amount of, I'm friends randomly with a lot of professors from across the globe, and a lot of my female professors are, they're like, well, I watched episode one, and I need to lie down, and I need to breathe, and I'm not sure when I'll be able to return. Some said if they'll be able to return to the series. Now, I fully intend to finish the series, because it's amazing, but to see such a visceral reaction from women who read about this stuff daily, I think just kind of hammers home how significant the show is.
Sure.
Yeah, terrifying is a great word. That's exactly how I felt. It was disturbing, but it was also really symbolic for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of going on this thing about, could it ever get this bad? Could it not? Is this fantasy? Should we be worried? You know, this is a whole, like, conversation going on. Yeah. And to me, it was very real.
I only chuckle because I'm looking at Joelle's face, and I'm like, yep. There are certain things that's already in that direction.
Right.
Or certain things that already happen like that.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it even more.
Y'all, Adrienne Snow is going to be joining us next week.
Oh, it's scary.
And when she comes here with the knowledge to just drop bombs of knowledge on you guys, I'd be so excited. Oh, my God.
From someone who read the book standpoint, I read it once a long time ago, and now I'm currently rereading it. And it's cool how they've taken parts that did happen a little bit later, because I have just a tiny bit left to finish it. But there's stuff that I think they tied it in really well, and I think they've accomplished most of how the book feels.
Oh, that's great. That doesn't always happen. I like that.
Because we've never read the books.
Yeah.
You've read the books, and then when Adrienne gets here, she's currently reading the book.
Cool.
So.
Well, if you all didn't know, and that I was pointing out, I don't know if you knew that the author makes a tiny cameo at the Red Center and slaps Offred in the face.
I did see that, and I was like, this is where you want to put your author in the movie.
Yeah.
So this is a great place for her to pop in.
And I am happy. I was happy to read that online she approves. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a consulting producer on it. So she's very involved.
Good.
Yeah.
Without getting
too
sidetracked into the behind-the-scenes stuff, there's a great article out right now, and I wish I could remember what side it's on, but they resurrected a company that hasn't been around since the 80s because they had the rights to The Handmaid's Tale. They did a movie in 1990 of it.
There's an old movie that is all right.
It's not, and the producers freely say that. They're like, our movie in 1990 was bad, but they still own the rights.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to buy it or scrap it from them, Hulu was like, help us.
Cool.
So they learned all this new stuff. So what I really like about the behind-the-scenes aspect, lots of women involved, from directors to cinematographers. Reed Moreno was not only the cinematographer for the show, but she also directed the pilot episode.
Yeah.
But then also that we're getting a lot of people in age range and experience to come and tell this story. And I think it shows in the storytelling.
Nice.
It's well done.
So something that's interesting at the very beginning, that how this starts is because the book doesn't start this way. Book, she's already in the world.
Mm.
The show starts off with them trying to escape. And so her husband, I don't think he was necessarily specifically visually described, but it's an interesting choice that they chose a person of color. And their baby's this adorable mixed baby.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my goodness. I knew you. I was like, I knew you were going to be happy
so
about it.
Precious.
So cute. But it kind of, oh, I was going to say, the show's rated TVMA, so we can have some swearing here. So
yes!
I was like, it's rated MA. If you watch that show,
hell
you watch
yes.
this. Yeah. It all goes to shit, and they are on the run. I like how they show that, but as someone in a relationship, the, hey, we're going to separate? No. Immediately, he's like, no.
I actually like
unless
this
he's
line.
Like, I'm going to hold you back. Like in terms of hold them back, I'm going to stall them. I
That's
was like,
what I thought his intention was. It was wasn't like, look, enough. I'll be, no, they had lots of guns and there were many yeah. of them. But I thought yeah. it was very selfless to be like, look, maybe I'll distract them for a few minutes and you guys run. It's only 2 miles, you know.
Yeah.
Feasibly, yeah. you should be able to run that in about half an hour. Even if you're not yeah. at your, if you're at your like not healthiest, you should be able yeah. to get there in about you know half an hour. It was a good try.
When you're trying to survive, there are no rules. You know, yeah. you can't. It's like, no. you got to do what you got to do. And if you have yeah. to split up, so be it. You're just trying to survive.
You okay, I'm running you with do. You. I'm like, no, we'd be going.
You'd go the same way.
No. But then they have this excellent cut to her being in the room. And I don't know if you picked up on how she's describing words. And partially that's keeping her sane and describing things.
Yeah.
And it's also... essentially, she goes into, it's the room. It's not necessarily even her room.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Vocab is important.
Yeah, I really enjoy these internal monologues. I was Love reading it. Reviews about the show, and a thing that kept coming up was, like, the book is so internalized that they weren't yes. quite sure how they were going to bring it to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing her inside voice, and I especially think as women who oftentimes we bite our tongues and we don't say certain things, yeah. we don't want to show our yep. full range of emotions, because God forbid we'd be labeled, like, crazy or too
bitchy.
Emotional. Yeah, exactly. So to see that, especially, you know, as she we meet her, the first other handmaid, and she is like pious little uptight shit.
Yeah,
I was like, yes.
I like that you touched upon that, because that's, yes, that was one of my biggest concerns, because I'm like, it's so much in her head because you cannot yeah. speak to anybody. It's mm-hmm. not safe.
Right.
You can't. And so the narrator, I think they did a really good job. They do an excellent job of the flashbacks, because
oh,
that's
yeah.
how we think.
I love
you know,
it.
You
yeah,
just have your
absolutely.
Moment, and you're like, oh, daydream. Mm. Only thing that's a little bit different that I'd be curious on viewers who've read it and then what you think of. So in the book, though, her thoughts are not as aggressive. They're a bit more someone who's been through trauma and like essentially PTSD that she's not quite as aggro in her thoughts of like you pious uptight bitch kind of a thing. She doesn't think that. She thinks like
yeah.
along those lines. But I think for the show that gets it to the point quicker, maybe.
I think for a protagonist, it's good to have a fighter, too.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
And I really feel like maybe they tried to modernize them a little bit.
That
because
too.
The book came out, what, 84, 85, something like
yeah,
that?
Say, yeah, early mid-80s.
So that woman in her 20s would have been born in the mid-60s. You would have had a bit of the radical women's movement, but then based off of this future, that would have been squashed really fast.
Yeah.
You could totally understand why someone would be a little more subverted in their thoughts.
Right.
But I think here, if you have a woman born, you know, today. Like, in the mid-80s,
right.
you know, who, like, we had Spice Girls and yeah. pop songs.
They
I feel like
Uber and they yeah. had cell phones.
Absolutely.
I think it allows the audience to connect more with it that way. They did a great job
cool.
doing that. So
like
that was right on, yeah.
Okay, now another thought to ponder. The wife and the commander are young. In the book, they're probably about 50 and 60.
Ew, I'm glad
which
they
makes,
made
them young. No, but doesn't that make it better in terms of that's more so. Disturbing?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
young, attractive couple.
Yeah.
All right, he's not that old to be having to, you know, if he has to have sex with you. But otherwise, he's supposed to be, like, graying hair, older. It's an interesting choice. I'll see how it plays out, but I don't
like
that.
I like this because I think
much.
It drives home the idea of there being an outbreak of infertility.
Sure.
Because,
okay.
you know, she's
yeah.
young.
I
and
like
also, it.
It
kind of pits women against women and this idea of you're not a woman until you can sire a child, you know?
Right.
You can't sire a child. That's what a dad does.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Until you can bear
Get
a child.
Birth, yes.
So the idea that she has to look at this other woman and she even
yeah.
warns her, like,
yeah.
don't get any ideas. That's
yep.
my husband. You know, the fact that she's gripping her so tightly. I like the competitiveness, the way that the society sets up women to be pitted against each other.
The shocking thing for me that reminds me, it's in this world, even the best woman, right, the top woman, the queen bee, the wife of the commander,
yeah.
gets no respect at all.
Yeah.
Even the top most respected woman gets no respect. And so that for me was like, okay, this is all right. You know, this is that world.
And it shook me how incredibly lonely she must be because there's no, like, friend or equal around. Like, there's either the man in which she's in servitude to, or all these people who she is dominant over. There's no equal. There's no one to tell her feelings to either. She has to be quiet.
Yeah. We'll see if they go there, but wives do hang out with other wives.
I hope they go there, but how they interact, I think, will be really interesting.
Yeah. And they, what do you think so far of the color breakdown, too? They've shown it a little bit, but the wives wear blue, the commanders or husbands are black, and the handmaids are red.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of this is your uniform, this is your place, and that's a really great way to...
Oh, and Martha's are green.
Yeah. It's a really good way to make people fit into the roles you'd like them to fit into. Man, their wings, their giant habit-like bonnets are dope as hell. Like, just visually, they look amazing, but I can't see, and that would bother me.
Well, that's the point.
I know.
Like, you can't even, like, look at each other when you're talking, that you have, like, a side whisper, you know? Oh, they're so weird and creepy.
The production design is amazing, and the wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And when they're, this is all on purpose, when they're coming in, and all you see is a sea of red and white little hats, and they're zooming in, it's this drone shot. The colors were well thought out on every aspect, and the grocery store, and, you know, it's just, it's so good.
Oh, yeah, you like no words, ladies? You got new pictures. You're not allowed to read anymore.
I didn't read it, I swear. I was like, oh, girl, run.
Yes.
They're going to take your eye. No.
Yep.
My favorite. I was like, my favorite part of that. One of my favorite lines in the show was, I don't need an orange. I need a machine gun. And I was like,
oh, yeah. When she's like that. No, I need. Yeah. Oh, she was saying she wants to scream.
Yes. Or I need to scream. Yeah. And I need a machine gun. Yeah.
Then even too, we got the Rita / Martha, and they're wanting to go back to traditional values.
Yes.
Nails on chalkboard.
Yeah.
You like that?
I mean, in some ways, yes. In some ways, I hope that, because if the show doesn't feel, I don't know how to say this. This show doesn't feel feminist in that it's busting people over the head, and a lot of people, like, when they hear the word feminist or, God, of women or... it shuts their brain down, and they don't want to think about the things anymore. I feel like the show very much is just, like, this is just the world we live in, and this is how people are trying to survive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like the way it delivers its message in a subtle way
that
is easy to consume and also makes you want to vomit.
Yeah. timeline, we don't have a huge timeline. She mentions 2 months. I wasn't quite... by the time the book is, I think it's actually been years. That's the other big difference, too. Because 2 months, you'd still be, like, 100% still able to resist mentally. You haven't broken down yet, if you're strong like her. I think then she's lost track and she feels it's been a few years.
Yeah.
Because also she says, like, if I would ever find my daughter again, would she still look the same and everything? And then, remembering stuff, like, it's starting to fade because it's been so long. And the creepy thing, too, which I get to later, which, what do you think of this thought, is how they were like, you're used to something because it's ordinary, and then you'll get used to it.
Well,
and then
it really freaked me out. Somebody said that to me the other day. Before the show came out, they're like, ordinary is only what... And in a way that was not, like, creepy or oppressive or anyway. They're like, it's not ordinary because it's not what you're doing. But the minute... like, and I think we're actually talking in reference to refugees, which made it doubly as concerning because you see them trying to flee like refugees.
Yep.
Like, I'm in a terrible country. I don't want to live under this regime. I just want to get to Canada where people are apparently still sane.
Yes.
I got to get out of here. And it's kind of haunting to think how easy your perspective can be changed.
Oh, for sure.
And how fast your world can change. You know, in the show, she was free and she was June and she had a family and now she's a handmaid within, 2 months? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just mirrors what's happening right now so bad in the worst way. But it's crazy how they, whip them and... they don't give them a choice. This is your world now.
As long as you can give birth, they can pretty much beat you. You're just breeding stock.
Yeah.
They do some even more that... Yeah. So off Glen, we meet her, which, if you've noticed, everybody is, like, essentially of the family.
Right.
Her walking partner and going 2x2.
Yeah.
Which, how did you like her reveal at the end?
So good. I feel like a lot of times this is the way, like, girls are too, especially when you're not sure about a person, you know, and you're stuck in kind of this very rigid environment where you have to present a certain way. Mm-hmm. The idea of them, and the fact that they couldn't do it by looking each other in the eye. They used the mirror to to have that conversation of, like, this way no one will know. We're just looking inside of a window, very innocent. The fact that you have to be that on at all times. In fact, she was like, Yeah, you were really pious too, so I don't know what you're talking about. It was adorable.
We needed that moment to feel like, you know, there could be a sense of hope. I was like, yes, we have an ally. Like, I needed that moment. Otherwise, I think it would have been a little too, ooh, where do we, you know, there's too much to fight. Now we get that little ounce of glimmer, like I got someone on my side.
I wanted to ask you guys if you trusted her in this moment. Were you like, oh, okay, yes, or did she just, like, level up the game? Because my headspace is I like a lot of dubious shows where people, you get, like Breaking Bad, where you just get never sure who's really in her corner. And my thought process was like, oh, maybe she's just upped her level of gaming. Like, now she's psychologically getting into her head with, like, there's eyes in your house.
Yeah.
She's got her to open up and say things.
I had that thought. Yeah, my first thought was, we have an ally. My second thought was, you can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. This is a paranoid world we live in. And that was the most craziest thing for me to take in, the paranoia that these girls must have on a daily basis, aside from everything else, right? You're just like...
I think it's one of those, she has everything and nothing to lose to trust her.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I like that they told us so soon. I think it takes a little longer in the book, but I think that was an excellent choice for them to tell us right away.
Yeah.
Because also if it's weird because it's a timeline that's slow and long at the same time, so we'll see how they pull it out.
Sure.
We mentioned the war and the rebels. So they didn't say who the other fighters were, right? I didn't think they said it.
No, they just kept calling them others. It's like, they're not us, rhetoric.
In the book, they're other religious sects. That's like the Quakers and the Baptists.
Oh.
Interesting. Well, that makes sense. When they held the priest on the wall, I was trying to figure out, like, what his offense was, because in my mind, at least in the current day stage, like, a return to traditional values is a religious return.
Mm-hmm.
But this is very much more of a
if you're not with us, like, you're done. Yeah,
it's more of a community structure here, as opposed to religious structure, which is somehow more unnerving, because the idea that a lot of times very conservative people, like, they have their faith and that makes them good people a lot of times, like, oh, it doesn't make them good people, but a lot of times people they have good intentions. They're like, oh, well, I think that, you know, you don't want to go to hell. That would be awful, right? So just do these things I'm telling you to do that my book tells you to do and you'll be fine. I want to help. But they're not doing it for a higher power or for a god. They're not giving of themselves anything. It's just, no, I just told you to do this.
Yeah.
I would be dead so fast.
Survive. No, it's one of those, it's hard.
Didn't he pull out the Bible during the ceremony?
Yes.
Gonna lose it there.
They're more like the fundamentalist right-wing Christian people that kind of exist today. But it's interesting to hear that the other groups are, because it is like, wait, where are we? Like, how big is this space? Did they call it Gilead yet?
Yes.
Okay. It's one of those, like, you kind of go like, wait, did they say this? Yeah.
I got the sense, without having read the book and not knowing, that it was mostly like an East Coast, maybe kind of stretching into the Midwest area. That's my sense of scale so far.
I think it's a New England area.
So I was going to say, quick shout out in the chat. Arcane Pacific said, go Veronica.
Yeah. Oh, I know Arcane Pacific. Hi.
And then... And Lisa, what's up, Lisa? That's a friend of mine. She says, I'm not ready to trust her, referring to Offlin.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm with you, girl. It's hard. It's not looking good.
Yep. So we do, you kind of mentioned the wall. So the people hanging up there. Now, do you think that Offred's also looking for something else at the wall? I mean, she mentioned it's not Moira, but so far they only seem to hang men. Mm. So who else could she be looking for at that wall?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious that her husband died, at least at this point. Well, we never saw a body. So this is our sci-fi origins, as me and Carrie are always on the sci-fi shows. If there's no body, you don't know for sure. The three gun pops in this episode, though, rang a clear bell to me that he is not surviving. Although maybe he's out there cleaning up toxic sludge.
Yeah.
I didn't think that she was... I thought it was more of a moment of, like...
This is where we're at.
I'm not even sure if it was, like, honoring the dead, or if it was just to observe, like, okay, like, this is happening. This is real.
She describes it. She goes to looking for her man.
Uh-huh.
To check to see if it's him.
Interesting.
Because the bag, and she describes, like, the blood bleeding out of someone's face and holding the features enough that she's like,
she
can tell.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it goes. If you guys like the show, I do recommend the book of, like, just even more. But I don't find it too depressing. Frustrating as all get out, but not, like, depressing per se.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's because it sounds like that's how she lives her life. Sort of, you know, looking up with this glimmer of, could that be this one person? You know, the moment with her little daughter where she was looking for her kid at the school where the little girl's in the pink and she made eye contact.
And you're trying to picture, how does your child develop? Like yeah. maybe this is her when she's eight?
Four? Ooh, I want to say she's more like four.
She's a baby.
Yeah. I think like I said her name. I can't remember four. Eight. I think you guys are right. Four. Like she's much smaller.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out how does your child develop physically from four to, it's been, you know, 2 or 3 years later, and you're trying to, like, how did your face change? And so it must be so haunting to every child that has, like, a similar curl pattern or
scanning
skin
the
tone.
Kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was actually really interesting that they would allow handmaids to walk by a school, because those are your kids you gave up. So I would think that they would not let them be in the same space.
I feel like in a society where we've told you that those are not your children, so why would you even think to look? Like, I feel like they're not
That's
your children.
True.
And the whole part of the ceremony is, like, give us a child, like, all of this stuff is, like, it's removing you from the situation entirely.
Then we get look into the Rachel and Leia center, which, thanks again, Lisa. She goes, it's straightforward Old Testament reference.
Yes.
Chilling.
Oh, no, it's so creepy. but they fill us in of, like, it's, you know, the plague of infertility and then pretty much damning anybody who was preventing fertility stuff.
What do you guys think of a snappy waitress?
Janine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Janine.
Poor baby.
I totally understand wanting to be rebel without a cause. I'm not taking any of this bull crap today.
Yeah.
But I also understand, like, maybe read the room. Like, one time should have really been enough. When they have to pull out the cattle prod on you, it's not a good look.
Yep. Nope. That was rough.
Yeah.
And then,
that was bad.
I thought it was interesting they even left them in their normal clothes. I thought they would strip them of those right away.
Yeah.
Especially in a room with other handmaids. Because then you go, hey, wait, that's what I used to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I think those moments are good. And I think the show is doing that on purpose so that we are not sucked into this world. So that it's like a subliminal constant reminder that this is modern times and that it's going down. That's how what I get from it. You know, when they reference Uber and Tinder.
Well,
it's kind of like...
It's just an abandoned school. They're just at school desks. Yep. Like, it's mind-blowing.
Yes. Pretty much, no tolerance for any sort of rebellion. And then we talked about the ordinary. So Moira, friends from before.
Moira! Love it! And from Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
I like the actress.
And then she's a lesbian, and she swears, she smokes pot.
And she's played by Samira Whitley, who's, like, the best. And Samira Whitley had a terrible, terrible, terrible death on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to see her here do good things. Now, there's a rumor that she might be dead in the show, but I'm not buying it. No one gets Samira Whitley for 5 seconds, okay?
Well, don't they reference towards the end that Moira ran away?
They said she might have run away, but then they
say maybe.
Then Janine, post-trauma, and super very pregnant, and very
out
crazy.
Of her mind.
That jumps us 9 months ahead, too, by the way.
Yes, yes.
That's a timeline thing.
That's a really good point. That is a good time.
So now it's been a year.
Yeah.
Good observation.
For Janine says she died. She killed. Yeah. They sent her out to the fields to clean the sludge, so she's probably dead.
Because she was trying to escape.
Yeah, but you trust Janine knowing correct information?
I don't trust Janine for anything.
Right?
Yeah, she's out of her mind. Poor baby.
Oh, yes. Oh, we learned about that you don't want to be an unwoman and go to the colonies.
Yeah, no.
Which,
I might.
Well, they say, this is the other thing, too, of how much do you know is true of what people tell you? Because they tell you, at the colonies, you're going to be doing toxic stuff and your skin's going to peel off.
Right.
Do you know? Have you been there?
Definitely just a lot of rumors at this point.
Right? I'd like teeter on if I want to say, like, I'm like, wait.
No, don't tell us.
I'm like, no. Well, just think of what else could be un-somethings. Hold that thought in the back of your head. If you're an un-woman. No, not long term, but. Because, you know, if you have the, you know, there's un-women, what other uns can there be? So, side note. We'll probably get to that pretty quickly. So we get the ceremony, the only kind of ceremony that matters. The bath and pretty much make myself clean like a pig, which I thought you could still drown yourself in a tub. Just saying.
You know
what? I had that thought too, yeah.
Not only did I have that thought, but then I also was thinking the show is so feminist in such subtle ways. It's really cool. Body hair is never an issue here.
I'm going to high five you, even though if you guys are listening.
Thank you so much for that, yeah.
We see it all of the time, and it's highlighted, and it's made beautiful, and it's not covered up at all.
In this show?
Yeah. We see it not... Not in a lot. Like, not on her legs and stuff.
I was going to say, I specifically have a note. Like, clean-shaven legs when she got in the tub.
But on her face. Like, they do... Reed Moreno has all of these very tight close-ups. Uh-huh. Because she lives in close-ups. And, yes. Like, a lot of times where they would try to soften the light or something, uh-huh. She highlights it so that you're seeing hair, like, here and there on her face. It's baby soft, but it's there. And I think it's something that oftentimes... people try to cover up because women are not supposed to be hairy.
I do think she should have had her legs go a little bit more.
Do you? I don't know.
If it's been 2 months, if I don't shave, I mean, I guess because they're not giving hair, you
razors and stuff. You don't have a razor. Dye.
Exactly.
But yeah, you are supposed to remain pretty and things.
No. You just need to make babies.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to you then. She should have had hairier legs.
I thought she should have had hairier legs. Because that is one of those. Okay.
No, two
based
producers.
On the facts of the show. Yeah. No razors. You can't shave. You just need to make babies so you don't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
He just needs to fuck you. He doesn't need to make love to you. Come on.
Clearly.
And then, yes. Oh, his hands on his hips?
Oh, God. What the most awkward, just, like, not looking anywhere. Yes. Just, like weird thrusting. I was like, oh, this is the least sensual sex scene I've ever seen.
But that's what it's supposed to be.
And I just watched Iron Fist. Anyway.
If I ever interview those actors, I'll be asking about what it was like to shoot that scene.
That's probably the most comfortable sex scene they ever shot. They don't have to get into the intimate headspace of, like, loving.
No,
like, just move your bodies. Got it. Totally fine. Just do it and out.
Everyone looked dead. Dead inside.
I like how they did this because I pictured him actually more on top of her instead of just standing, but the standing makes it more disconnected. So I dig that.
Yeah.
But then you would appreciate this of body hair, because then in the book she talks about it's all like bush of like crotch, legs, underarms, because it doesn't matter, you know. But because she comments like, oh, I wish I could shave, and like it just feels like weird after not.
Okay.
And then she comments on the wife, she's like, get out. And she's like, I need to lay here to increase the chances. And then, like, I can feel it streaming down my legs.
Man, there was a lot going on in that scene. Because one, it's clear the wife doesn't want a kid that much. At this point, to me, I think she wants it for the societal, like, pressures of it.
Yeah.
But if she was really interested, like, there's a lot you would do, I think, to help your surrogate get pregnant. She gives her nothing. There's, like, no extra amenities, no, like... prop a pillow under your back and keep your legs up. Like, she's like, I don't care if you have the baby or not, just get out.
Yep. They did a good job in humanizing the wife and the hurtiness. Like, she has to watch. You know, at this, it's all messed up. It's all effed up. But for her to have to sit there and watch her man do it with someone else. And when she was crying, it's like, you feel bad for every woman in this, even the bad woman, you know? Yeah. So, they humanized her quite nicely. I thought.
Speak of the comment of being attractive, there's another part, too, of they're not even, she wants, she steals butter to be hand lotion and facial lotion because it just gets dry and they want to maintain it, so they will steal butter and like use that as a moisturizer.
I really appreciate, like, it was so funny because as a black person I'm watching and I'm reminded a lot of slavery and I'm seeing those things. My roommate's grandparents are Holocaust survivors, and so in it she's just talking about like all of the Holocaust things, especially the conversation where it's like, this will be over soon and we'll get out and it'll be fine. And she was like, these are very active conversations that they have during the Holocaust of like, just hold tight a little bit longer so we can get out of the situation. The stealing of butter is a very thing. Like, I was just learning the other day, like, corn cobs were used as brooms for slaves. Oh. They would just shuck the corn, like, stick it on the back.
Sure.
Probably not a very effective broom, but you know, you stole what you could to make do.
Yeah, exactly. Then I like that they address when she runs outside, and then later she says Nick didn't tell on me. So we'll talk about Nick, and then also, so she ran outside. I'm like, she's allowed to go outside? But then she has the, oh, well, Nick didn't tell on me. So I'm like, okay, good. Because I thought it was even more like, you can't. It's, you know, so regulated.
I didn't know if it was she couldn't go outside or the fact that he saw her in such an undressed down state, like, clear boob down shot, which, I like when we show women's bodies without sexualizing them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, being naked isn't always a sexual act, and well,
Janine
is great as shooting it. Yeah, obviously, poor
Janine! So real. Yeah.
Oh, the slap in her, too? Like, you can't go anywhere, you're here. Yes.
That's prison. That's straight prison mentality.
Yeah.
Pull it together. We don't have time.
And it's contagious. You like that too? Crazy is contagious.
I did.
Keep your shit together.
Yes.
I'm allowed to say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. So what do we think of Nick? He's younger than I imagined.
Hey, Nick. What's up?
By the way, Maxi actor, super cute.
All right. You know, he's way cute. I like her relationship with Nick. Mm-hmm. I like, so far, it's such a clear like, note to how great both actors are.
Yeah.
That we get so much flirting and, like, sensuality without almost zero language exchange between the two of them. Or these very, like, pre-programmed phrases that they have to say to one another.
Call and repeats.
Even when she says, you know, oh, you should pick up tuna.
Yeah.
After he says how much he doesn't like it. Like, the way of they're able to converse around each other. Yeah. It was, oh, man. Their relationship is going to be fun and terrifying to watch because I'm so scared they're going to get caught. Please don't get caught. I like both of you so much.
Wait, so you trust him fully? You think he's a good guy?
I don't know if I trust Nick, but I am interested. I'm intrigued by their relationship, by their dynamics. Okay.
Yeah. Because I see this thing. I'm paranoid, just like these women in the show. It's like, who to trust? He does seem like a good guy. I like the way they flirt, which is hysterical. Because I was like, what are they talking? Oh, they're flirting. That's how you flirt when you're a handmaid. Like, you know. But it'll be fun to watch for sure.
So something that I don't remember them mentioning in the book, but I like it so much because it's creepy, is did you notice her ear tag?
Mm.
It was, I thought, like, it was a cattle? Very cool. Yeah. I liked, like, livestock. It's terrible, but livestock, the production design of it, the way, like, where it sits, how it sits, it just looks like a cuff. It's very inconspicuous, but when you see it,
it's numbered.
It's clear cattle, and it's, oh, it's awful.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, but it absolutely 100% makes sense. Like, if you ran away and they could catalog you and they know exactly who you are, and you're like, blah.
And you'd have to cut off your ear to take it off.
That's especially in a place that doesn't seem to have internet anymore. We haven't seen a computer or anything yet.
Not. Well, most fundamentalist religious stuff, you have a lack of science, you have a lack of technology, all that kind of stuff.
They can't even read. I'm still not over that. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. That's, So there's a line that she said, and I kind of was, let's ponder this. So she kind of asks indirectly, like, what did I do to deserve this? Mm. Is that a human thing to say, or is it something women ask themselves a lot?
Ooh, both. That's a good question. I think a lot of times women are like, I don't understand, you know, why I get this promotion or why I have to include my boss's name on an email in order to get a response. And, like, the list goes on and on. But I also think, especially...
Or just a man's name. Did you see that article?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of a human element as well, because when you're shoved down into these very deep, dark corners and limited in being able to make your own choices, you know, often, why? Why do you get to make a choice and I don't? Especially, like, I feel... with race and things, or with a religious creed, and you're separating people, but here it's just a matter of, like, we said so, you know. And I think it's got to be even harder to push past, like, but I'm not any different than you, so I don't understand why this is happening to me.
It was very human for me. I mean, obviously, to me, it's a feminist, you know, tale, although the actors want to deny that, but that's a separate issue. that's marketing. But yeah, when she said that, I just felt sorry for her as a person in a very dark and, you know, seemingly hopeless place. Mm-hmm. But I think that was one of the best moments of the show.
Well, because then it also kind of transitions to the scene where we have Janine in the circle with the confession talking about the gang rape. Whose fault is it?
Jesus.
Who led them on?
Both circles are so incredible because you see how they use each set of girls to do their bidding.
Yep.
This idea of first shame one another so that you internalize that shame.
Yeah, slut-shaming her. Yeah.
It's not even just slut-shaming her, but then you guys are kind of slut-shaming yourselves. Like, it's this idea of you hurt your sister, and you're hurting yourself, and we bring you all lower. And then to see it with the rapist and accusing him of things, especially when you know what these girls go through daily now, and like, okay, get your rage out here so you won't be mad when you go home. And also, you can continue to feel that guilt later.
And so you won't lose your mind.
Mm-hmm. But it's a group mentality, and it's been approved. So we keep you guys... It's a great way to keep people in checks and balances. If we gave you something, you could take down your rapist. We don't like that guy. We're good people. You don't have to worry. I'm your Aunt Lydia.
You know what's creepier, too, is they at least get that, but they mention many and other times of any time you would tell something as a woman, they don't care because you're the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if a guy, you know, if that happened in this time period, the guy raped you, they wouldn't care that you said anything. I have to be a man who'd verify it.
I don't even believe that guy was a rapist, to be honest. I mean, how do we know that's true? They probably just brought him in.
Just get it out of your system, beat this guy up.
Me and my fiance were, like, you know, speculating. We're like, what if he was trying to have sex with a handmaid because it was his ex-wife and maybe he found her? I mean, there's so many things that could have happened. How do you even know that?
You don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's just... just, you know.
Which I think is what makes her rage so terrible. I mean, she just found out her friend died, but, like, oh, yeah. even the way she's hitting, like, it's not a calculated, like, or even a trained fighter. Like, it's not, like, direct punches to anywhere. She's hitting him a lot with her wrist. Yeah. Her hands are off. It's very, rage. Like, wild and emotional. It was a raw scene, but it was so good.
Yeah. A lot of rage.
I know, Miss, I forgot I had a note here, but I was like, wait, how often do we think they have the ceremony? I still am not clear how often it happens in the book, per se.
I would think like, it would be kind of...
Like, I don't know if it really is once a month.
Probably often. Or, well...
My guess... I thought it was, like, based off menstrual cycle. Like, they're like, what are the best times to get pregnant? I feel like that technology... That like science isn't that hard to do.
Science isn't real.
That's also true.
not in this world.
But I also am not sure if it's just... based on his schedule.
Right.
Because it's clearly been trying for a long time. He's like, don't fret. We're going to get there. Relax. So, and I'm not quite that clear yet.
I have a question. Do they, and you might know this because we're not that far along, but do the men have sex with multiple handmaids?
No, you just get one handmaiden.
Okay. Okay. Because I need to better the chances. I don't know. You know.
It's 100% the woman's fault. It's not the man's fault.
Oy.
Yep. Right.
So it's her responsibility to get her.
Sorry, I just shot myself. What's going on over there? I can't.
So that's something to think about later. Is if you're a man that you're assigned to can't get you pregnant, and what happens to you if you don't? So what options do you have?
Right, because they even said the assigning thing. They kind of it happens really fast. With the gardener, he's like he's a low level. He hasn't even been assigned a woman yet.
Yeah,
so they gift you a person who is infertile. Is it? But there's like a class system, right?
Yes, I don't know if there's... It's arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. There is a... Wow. I don't think it's a spoiler to say, but there's a ceremony where the soldiers are gifted wives, and they're very young. And, like, you get lucky or not that she's pregnant. You don't know yet, maybe.
Yeah.
And so then, if you don't, then you can get a handmaiden, depending on how much wealth and how high status you are.
Copy. Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Wow. All kinds of creepy. And then, we had the reckoning ceremony, and that was... Any other thoughts? I think that kind of covers it, unless there's anything else we didn't get to.
No, that was the main stuff. That end final conversation was really beautiful between them when they became friends.
Yeah.
But the sheer... Oh, there's one thing. When the van with the eyes...
The eyes.
The tension... Oh, my gosh, she's such a great actress. The tension in her body to going from, like, hey, we're talking and we have to be secretive, but it's okay. Yep. No one's really watching. Shit, it's eyes. Okay, be fine. And then you see the release. And then as soon as they get to the gate, she's like, you have eyes in your house. And I'm like, she's got to live with that stress 24/7? How? You can't conceive of it. Like, a child cannot come into the world under that amount of stress.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's just no way. Oh, my gosh. And that was the first time I was truly terrified for her. Everything else, I'm like, there's a system, there's a plan, then there's probably a way out. People find a way out.
Yeah.
In your house? I don't know, man. All cards off the table at this point.
They describe it that above her bed there was a chandelier. It's not there because the other handmaiden hung herself there.
Yeah.
But it's still in kind of the shape of an eye, so then she feels she's always being watched.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Woof. I think that kind of covers it. Let's let you guys do some predictions.
Yeah, predictions.
I was going to say I can't, so. I can prod you and maybe like.
Predictions. Okay. I feel like the red herring is the Martha because she's kind of like mean, which I love because I don't have time for nonsense either. Like I have to cook all these people's food, I have to clean.
Yeah,
and I get nothing out of it. I get zero out of this, and I'm exhausted. So don't give me none of your lip, pretty girl. Yep. Like, I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's the eye. I doubt it's the wife. Which leaves Nick, but that scares me because we don't know anybody else in the house.
Yeah.
It's like the five of them. So. Oh, God.
Or maybe she's trying to help her out. This is a little offset here, but maybe she's trying to help her out, and that's a way of helping her friend keep it together because maybe she's slipping into you sleep into this comfort of, like, oh, I can let loose a little bit, and then does it, you know what I'm saying?
So, like, saying there's an eye in the house, she'll, like, she's always be there.
Right. But she's doing that to, like, protect her friend, like, just kind of
or
mentally.
Or just to be super mean and just fuck with this girl.
Yeah.
She's so cruel. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it's hard for me to make predictions, I think, as we're still learning the world,
the characters.
Sure. And what kind of ways people are cutting corners and slipping the rules. My money, unfortunately, is on Nick right now. I don't want it to be Nick, but he makes the most
sense
to me. They
make it seem like
me.
He would be the one.
Or my crazy outlandish theory is that it's the husband is maybe, but the eyes are part of the group. Like, I feel like from him, some kind of this rebelliousness. This, like, okay. I don't want to follow through.
It's probably someone we haven't met yet. That's the only thing that makes sense.
I figured with the ceremony, anyone else would be in the bedroom. And that's why I think it might only be the five of them in the house.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're still learning.
That's tough. And my prediction is that she survives.
Well, there's even, like, does she get pregnant or not in this season? What happens to...
I feel like she's got to get pregnant for dramatic tension.
Effect, yeah.
Like, I mean, it would be awful for her not to get pregnant. Like, maybe not right away, but I think once you have the baby and you're carrying it and you have a desire to get out and, like, get your other child.
Yeah.
And, like, bringing a child into the world will make you want to rebel against an established idea. So, absolutely. Maybe.
Janine's pregnant. Is everything going to go okay with that one?
I mean, we've heard about a lot of late-term miscarriages and people who have babies, but they're sickly and they don't last very long.
What if she loses it and
Janine
kind of
seems like the whipping post right now, so that would not surprise me if she snapped or if she tried to kill the baby herself.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, if this is going to get
horrible
dark,
thing.
If she might do something,
right?
In this world,
you already kind of commented, you think Moira's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's Samira Whitley. If they did kill her in the first episode, I'd be like, this show is nothing.
She's one of the stars.
I was like, do you think anything will change differently between her relationship with the commander and the wife? Together and separately.
At this point, the commander's not around that much. But also, he doesn't really like his wife, and he says nice things to her, and they say nice things back. So I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to spark something romantic with her, which would be really awkward, because no one's interested in that. In my dream, like, everything is happy and beautiful world. Like, the wife and her realize that they're basically different sides of the same coin. And that if they were together, they could have a better life. But something tells me that society is not going to let that happen. And it will not end well for either of them.
All right, cool. Some good predictions. I was like, there we go. That's a better way to lead you. Of like, so think about these things. I don't want to tell you about these things, but think about them. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up, 5 stars on iTunes. Comment down below your thoughts on the episode. And if you have read the book like me, no spoilers. We can't, get ahead of ourselves here. Next week, we might be trying to do episode 2 and 3, just to let you know. And then where can people find you all online?
Yes, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. And every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to the site now. Check my review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Stay tuned. Head over to our sister network, Popcorn Talk, where I'm going to do an interview with a NYFA alumni. Super excited for NYFA Hour. Later tonight, Riverdale, 10 o'clock. Be here. We're back. It's big. It's great. And then... I don't know, I do a lot of other shows. Check the channel schedule.
You are everywhere.
I do a lot.
Check her out, folks. I'm Veronica Barriga. You can find me on social media at Veronica B online.
And then my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And after this, I'm running over to the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. So stay tuned for stuff on that, red carpet coverage.
I'll have fun.
Then Sunday, box office breakdown, where we break out what movies came out. Talk about the movies that came out over the weekend, and starting soon is going to be American Gods. Again, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you all next week. See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.